Good afternoon. This is Pastor Wade Mobley here with Jerry Moen. Pastor Jerry Moen, longtime friend, longtime employee of the Free Lutheran Bible College and Seminary. Wanted to spend a little bit of time in this episode, this opportunity. I'm not sure exactly how we're going to slice this up and use it, but wanted to spend just a little bit of time talking about what you have in front of you. Pastor Moen, thanks for taking time.
Well, thank you. It's fun to do this, and it's exciting to see God at work and to think about how he's going to guide us in the future.
So for people who don't know you, obviously many people around campus know you very, very well. But for people who don't know you, tell us a little bit about your family.
Well, my family, I have five sons and one wife, and we have enjoyed 40 years of marriage together. And our sons were quite small when we started here on the campus in 1995. And very grateful for the privilege of having our sons attend here at the Bible College. And they all enjoyed their experience so much. Also, we were blessed to have them find five brides who are also Bible College students. And so that's been a wonderful blessing in our family as well.
So how many years at FLBC?
Year 29. We're finishing up.
29. So I have control issues. I like order. 29 is a prime. Couldn't you have just done 30, like a nice even 30?
Yes. I was planning to go past 30, but I guess God had other plans, so we'll follow his leading.
I had a friend slash mentor in Sioux Falls. He was an old Assemblies of God pastor, and he retired after 29 years. I said, come on, Ron, 29, you couldn't have made it an even 30. And he said, and he had this huge voice, he said, I didn't think they would find a replacement this quickly. So, no, we did not find a replacement, that's for sure. But we really have enjoyed having you on campus. So five sons, how many of them were born already when you came to campus? All of them?
I think just the first three were born. And so, yeah, so we had two then that were born here in the cities. And we had the privilege of homeschooling. That was a great blessing in our family. And Rebecca was very much leading the way in that endeavor. And I helped out where I could, teaching Greek or Phi Ed.
Yeah, I too am a very supportive homeschool dad. So, yeah. So when the five boys, and how many grandkids now?
Well, we have five and one on the way, and planning on more.
Yeah, it's fun to watch that. Now, my recollection, I remember out playing softball back when we had a softball field out behind us. And I remember you coming out, you're running the bases. I think we called you Triple, Jerry Triple Moen. I think we called you that.
Well, Pastor Johnson came up with that term, and I don't know. I maybe did get one triple.
Jim Johnson, softball aficionado.
Oh, my. Yes. He loved it. We had a great team that year.
Yes.
It was impressive.
And at some point, everybody pulled a hamstring, and we don't play anymore.
But yeah, I really ripped my pants bad in that one game, I know. But we got the pigs, so that was nice.
Yes, it's like Floyd of Rosedale.
That's right.
Or Floyd of Ridgedale.
Ridgedale, yeah, 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 yeah.
Oh, that's good. So your wife, Rebecca, you said 40 years, and she also works at the school. How long has she worked here? I didn't think about that ahead of time.
Well, now she's been teaching here for, oh, wow, I should know my facts better, but she's been, I think it's about 7 years that she's been doing her classes here, teaching the children's ministry class, getting the summer teams ready for their summer ministry, and then working in the administration with admissions for a shorter time than that. But that's been a really rich blessing for her, too. She just loves what she does. And as we were contemplating the move, she had been struggling with, what am I going to give up? She had too many irons in the fire. And so I guess this is our change that's coming up in the near future this summer has made it easy for her to know that she needs to give up everything and start over.
So. I suppose, yes. And she's been working admissions, you said, for 6 or 7 years now?
I think something like that.
And she's she's a force of nature when it comes to admissions. Not many people can talk to students and parents and grandparents and help with homeschool transcript kinds of things. And she's just done an incredible job. And we're going to miss both of you very much. Also at church, too. We go to church together. And there's a whole lot of Jerry and Rebecca Moen that I'm not going to see much anymore. So,
yeah, we're going to miss that. And we certainly weren't. We weren't looking for a reason to move on in life. Although I have to say that in the back of my mind, I've always felt that serving a congregation, I feel, is what God kind of created me for. And it's my first love. And so I've enjoyed teaching very much also. And it's been a real blessing, and I was happy to continue that. So neither of us were looking to move or to move on to something else, but the Lord worked in my heart after receiving a call from the congregation. He worked in my heart in such a way that I felt like he was in it. He was leading us in this way.
I remember when we first met years ago when I was a student, I remember you alluding to the thought that you'd go back to a congregation someday. Mm. I remember that. I'm guessing you probably didn't think it would be 29 years then.
I didn't probably think it would be 29 years. But those are things that you kind of leave in the Lord's hands. And I didn't see this coming. I certainly didn't see it coming that I would go back to my home parish and serve my home congregation. We'll be starting up there in Trinity and Mount Carmel and McIntosh July 1st. And so the weeks are going to go by very quickly. And so, yeah, but it's exciting to think of going back to my home stomping grounds and seeing people there that I already know. For Rebecca, she'll be meeting and getting to know a lot of people that she hasn't met before. And so that's an exciting adventure for us, and we're looking forward to it.
So tell us a little bit about McIntosh, Minnesota. Maybe things have changed a lot, I know, since you were a little boy. But what do you remember about McIntosh, and what do you see in McIntosh area? You know, it's an area more than just a town. But if things have changed, I realize this. But what do you remember? How would you describe the area?
Well, some of the things I remember would be, I grew up on a farm, so the farm life was something that I loved. I really enjoyed. Our farm was small enough where I was able to work for some of our neighbor farmers, and that was a great privilege for me. And so even though I loved growing up on a farm and I enjoyed working for neighbor farmers, for some reason, God never gave me a real desire to farm for myself, and I guess he had other plans for me, and I'm very grateful that I didn't have to really wrestle with that. And so I think even as a high school student, I was already getting some questions in my mind if God might have been leading me toward pastoral ministry. And and that was confirmed then as a Bible college student. But back to McIntosh, yeah, a town of about, I think it's between 500 and 600 people there right now, and lots of Lutheran churches. I think we had like 6 or 7 Lutheran churches in the town, and not much else. And so, yeah, it's really exciting to go back and think of. I don't know. I feel like God has given me a real heart for just reaching out into the community. And even in a small town, there are a number of people who aren't connected to any church. And so I really have a heart to try to reach some of the people here in my hometown.
It's going to be very interesting, you know, the old adage, you can't go home again. I'm not too concerned about that for you. I think you'll be just fine. But the time lapse is going to be an interesting thing to observe. So,
yes, it's a different pace living in a rural community. And I guess we've become somewhat accustomed to the city life here, even though we live on the edge of the city. But we like the thought of a slower pace, and maybe just the joy of working with people and families. I guess that's what I love about pastoring. I love the thought of walking alongside families and their joys and their sorrows. And now, as a teacher here, I got to know students. I suppose over the years, it's been 1,500 or so. Mm-hmm. And you get to know some of them well, and some of them not as well. But it's always interesting to find out where the Lord leads them and how He uses them. But the hard thing about the campus ministry, I think, is the turnover.
Yes.
Every year. There's a group that disappears, and we only see them occasionally after that. And so that's one of the hard things about teaching, I would say, is the constant turnover. But it's so fun to see the students that God brings to our campus and the students that God brings to our seminary. And I get excited for our church body just thinking about the pastors who are coming out of our seminary and students who are being equipped in the eternal and inerrant Word of God from our Bible college and going into different parts of the world and serving in congregations with their various gifts that God gives to them. That's exciting for me to see that. And I know that even serving as a pastor, I will be very blessed because of the ministry of our Bible college, because of students who will be part of our congregations. And so that's fun to look forward to.
Sure is. So if you look back to your childhood, which congregation did you grow up in?
There was a little country church about 6 miles north of McIntosh called Trinity, and that was started in, I think, 1887 or thereabouts, and it was called Trinity Norwegian Lutheran Church originally. And then I think when I was very, very young, the church building that became the facility for the worship place for the Mount Carmel congregation in town was actually moved into our community. And it was a three-point parish at that point, along with the Calvary Church in Fauston. And now it's the Fauston congregation has gone on their own, and so we are a two-point parish now. And so that's something that's new for me. I've never served a two-point parish before. I enjoyed my 7 years of ministry in Minot, North Dakota, serving the Bethel Free Lutheran Church there. And so, but that's been a long time ago, 30 years ago, to think of, can I still remember how to be a pastor? I sometimes wonder that, you know, and here I've been teaching pastors, and yet now going back into the parish, it's, I kind of feel like it's a whole new adventure.
Yeah. For sure. So I want to go back a little bit on McIntosh. So I feel like I know the area better than I do, because on my first summer team, summer of 1996, I had Tim Jory. So there's a connection there. And then
yes.
Heidi Quam.
Yes.
And then you start running into people, you know, Rolf's everywhere. And you've got a bunch of relatives, and
yes.
It seems like everybody you run into is from or, you know, has some connection to that area. Or Sarah Olson, Terry Olson, who grew up in Winger, so just north of there, right? Yeah. It's what is it about that area? Where did all of this spiritual life come from, other than Jesus?
Yes, well... God worked revival in many of these families, and so growing up, I just remember just very solid Christian families who loved the Lord and were willing to work and serve the Lord and teach Sunday school. I appreciated so many of my wonderful Sunday school teachers. And God, in that small little country church where I grew up, raised up so many pastors, missionaries, a real incredible blessing and work of God in the congregation. And my own father was saved at the age of 17 thanks to the prayers and friendship of some of these men his age who were concerned about him. And so I think about that, and I think of how that has impacted my life and how that impacts the coming generations. It's kind of an awesome thing.
There was a season of revival there too, way back at some point, wasn't there?
There was, yes. Yeah.
I'm trying to remember when that was. In my home area, it was 1965, and it was far before that, I think. So, but yeah, fun to think about. So, okay, so fast forward, you go to Bible school. You meet Rebecca Wall, and and the next thing you know, you're a pastor in Minot, North Dakota, 7 years. And I didn't know you well then, but I knew of you then. And my wife, of course, had met you at family camp at Lake Cherith, and heard some things. But what was the call like for you to leave parish ministry the first time to come here in the first place?
Well, I certainly appreciated our schools, and I think I was open to the idea of some point, you know, if the Lord would lead me to teach, to be open to that. But at the time when Dr. Fran Munseth called me up, my initial response was to say, well, thanks, but no thanks, and I didn't even agree to be interviewed. And I didn't even have the sense to say I would pray about it, because I was so certain that God wanted me to just keep doing what I was doing. We were really loving our years in Minot, had lots of good friends there. And so the idea of, I felt way too young to be teaching in seminary. And so, yeah, I really was, I was confident that I knew that it wasn't God's will. And then I realized that, you know what, if God wants me to consider this, then I should at least be open to be interviewed, and I should pray about this. And so God started working in my life, and long story short, another contact was made. And so then I realized that, yes, I should be willing to be interviewed. So some time passed, and there was a need for a New Testament instructor here at the schools, and that was exactly the area that I would have chosen to teach if I could choose. And so, very, very grateful for how that worked out, and was able to come and jump right in and teach a full load of classes. And after a challenging first year, really, God showed his grace to me that first year of teaching, where I felt probably more dependent on him than I ever had. And I hope I never lose that sense of dependence on him.
So you were probably called around annual conference, June-ish, or would it have been before that?
You know, I don't exactly remember what time of the year it was, but
I remember you coming to campus, because your first year would have been fall of 95.
Yes, I came in the summer of 1995, and my first assignment was to teach the six-week Greek course, an intensive Greek course, where we covered a year of Greek in 6 weeks, which meant instead of spending 1 week on a lesson, we would spend 1 day on a lesson. And so it was sometimes called suicide Greek, but everybody survived, and I survived. But that was a good challenge for me too. And then I had so much opportunity. I look back and I think of all the different areas that I've been able to teach, even though my focus was New Testament. I got so much variety. And, you know, what a blessing to have the time and the opportunity to study different areas and to learn and to grow. It's just such a blessing to be a teacher and to be a pastor.
So as a pastor, you knew Greek. You had been trained, and I'm assuming that you translated regularly as part of sermon preparation.
Yeah, I think I tried to keep that fresh, and I was glad I did. I mean, I'd had 2 years of Greek, and then I started teaching. So it was a big challenge.
So for the uninitiated, though, the gap between knowing and liking Greek and using it as a pastor many weeks, sometimes you probably ran out of time or didn't translate the whole thing or something, you know, but regularly using it, the difference between that and teaching 1 year of Greek over the course of 6 weeks, I mean, that's, you know, that's the treadmill starting at full speed.
Yeah, right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, but I really do feel just convinced that biblical languages is one of the best things that we can offer our seminary students. And I'm very glad that we have capable instructors for these languages. And I think our students, even though it might be quite a stretch for some of them to learn a new language, and some of them are studying both languages, Hebrew and Greek, at the same time, and that's certainly a challenge. But I think that they're going to look back and be so thankful for everything that they've learned. And that's the great thing about language. No matter how much you learn, no matter what level you're at, whatever you learn will be a blessing to you.
So you did 6 weeks of summer Greek, and then you had a nice break over Labor Day. And then school started.
Oh, man. Yes, I was not prepared for that. I was just trying to keep my head above water teaching Greek, and then my first classes, I didn't even have all my syllabuses ready. So, yeah, so it was a real challenge, a real test, and I think Dr. Munseth knew how to break me in right. So
I guess. So my first year here, I thought about your first year here a lot because I could see the light on in your office at all hours of the night. And it's just hard. First years are always hard. So,
yes.
But I remember that. And I remember some of your classes, and we've talked about this before, but I remember some of your classes, but really what I remembered was how you related to your family. It always such a special blessing to me. So.
Oh, thanks for saying that. And yeah, it's really kind of a neat thing how just connecting with some students too. I think over the years, certain ones who, I don't know, I guess I've developed sort of a almost fatherly relationship with several of the students, and that's kind of a special memory for me too as I think back.
Well, I've always kind of had that with you're not that old, you know, you're not old enough to be my father, but like a kindly older brother maybe, but your maturity and your grace and your wisdom has always been an encouragement to me. So,
well, I think it must be interesting from your perspective to think about your first impressions of me as a beginning instructor, and now having seen me, you know, grow into a senior teacher.
Yeah, I think now, granted, my perspective is colored by the fact that I was younger and a fairly new Christian, at least fairly new studying Christian, I should say. But I think you've become a much better preacher. I think you're fine. I remember you being a fine preacher, but I think now you're a highly skilled preacher. It's Macintosh is it's going to be good.
Well, I'm going to get a lot more practice now. I know
that.
Yeah, so,
you sure are. Maybe you're just preaching the same 12 sermons over and over again here, but no. And then the other thing I remember too is I don't know if you remember this. Do you remember getting up at a chapel service? I can't remember, probably a Wednesday back then chapel.
Okay.
With your Greek New Testament and nothing else. Do you remember that?
I don't remember that.
First John. it was 1 John. I can't remember what chapter of 1 John, and you were reading it, and I could tell what you were doing. It was like Spanish immersion school, or maybe like smoke the whole pack. You know? If I'm going to do this, I got to be able to do this. And I remember you got up and you picked your way through translating on the fly, and you weren't, you didn't tell us what you were doing. I saw what you were doing.
Well, just so you know, that's not my comfort zone.
No,
so.
It's not. But you were taking, but I remember it's like, okay, no, he's making himself do this. Because, you know, 1 John is a straightforward book to translate, a straightforward book to preach from as well. And so I'm guessing it's something that you were familiar with the English text, but you're seeing if you could do this from, and I remember that being a leap and thinking like, wow, I wonder if I could ever do that. And I still probably not. My Greek's pretty good, but I don't really think I could do that.
Do you know what? I just am amazed to see how quickly my students excel way beyond me in their Greek knowledge and capability. It's super. Oh, God gives special gifts to some people with languages, and then the rest of us have to kind of work at it, you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah. But anyway, even for those who struggle with languages, it's worth the challenge. It's worth the investment. If God is calling you to teach the word, if you have opportunity, even if you're not a pastor, to learn some Greek is a great investment of your time.
There's the chapter in John Piper's book, Brothers, We Are Not Professionals. You know that book?
Yes.
You remember the chapter, Bitzer Was a Banker?
Oh, I don't remember the title of it.
It tells the story of a guy named Bitzer. The last name is Bitzer, who got to be really, really good with the biblical languages.
Ah.
And then he says, well, he was a banker.
Yes.
And he just did this because this is the language in which God preserved this word.
Yeah.
And that if a banker did it as a Christian, how much more for those of us who regularly stand in front of a congregation and equip them from God's word?
That's beautiful. I bet it made him a better banker too.
Yeah, probably. Probably did. So, no, just so many good memories. And I guess more than anything, you and Rebecca have both served well with humility and grace and left an indelible impression on the campus of the Free Lutheran Bible College and Seminary. So we send you with our blessing. No regrets, because I'm so excited for you, but I'm going to miss you terribly. And you've become a good friend through the years. And I'm sure we'll connect, hoping we can send a seminary intern up your direction sometime or another.
Oh, that'd be great.
And maybe you could get that bakery open again, that Macintosh bakery.
Absolutely, yes. That was a fantastic treasure that we had in our community. So it would be nice to get that back. It's been an unbelievable privilege. And I just thank God for his work on this campus. And I think of this verse, I guess I don't really have a single life verse, but if I were to pick something, I think of Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, where Paul says, "But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly to the gospel of the grace of God." And I think that speaks well of my heart's desire too, is just to serve the Lord wherever he leads me and to walk humbly with my God. And then I know that he can use me. And even though I'm a sinner, he has forgiven me for all of my sins. I'm so thankful for the precious gift of his salvation. And I'm so thankful for all the blessings that he's given me and for the opportunities that I've had to come to know him, to learn to know him better, and then to teach others. And I don't know, certainly we think of the Great Commission and discipleship as being, you know, the heart of the mission of our churches, but it's really the heart of our schools as well, making disciples, training them, and so glad I could be a part of that.
Well, thank you, Pastor Moen. You certainly have done well, and thanks for taking time to sit down and visit with us a little bit. And you'll probably hear your cheery voice at some point in time on a website or a podcast, and I will look forward to that as well.
Thank you, Brother Wade. You're a real blessing to me.
Thank you so much. And thanks for joining us, however you hear this in the future. Thanks for joining us, and I sure hope that you're enjoying the favor of Christ, resting in his finished work for your salvation, your future, and your day-to-day sustenance. And thanks so much for spending this time with us.